It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's yesteryear. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier, and coming up in this hour, science fiction. Later on, we hear the story Requiem on X-1, but right now it's Dimension X from September 15th, 1950, with the George Lefferts tale, Hello Tomorrow.
Dimension X. Tonight, a story of the future and a star of the future. The story, Hello Tomorrow, and the star, Miss Nancy Olsen, the talented young actress who is currently winning critical acclaim for her performance in one of the outstanding pictures of the year, Sunset Boulevard. Tonight, Miss Olsen becomes the first of a group of the stage and screen's most promising young stars of tomorrow to be invited to appear on the program of tomorrow, Dimension X. It was in the year 1991 that man disappeared from the face of the earth. The third atomic war had ended at last, leaving the land a mass of red radioactive dust, filling the air with gamma rays so deadly that life on the surface was no longer possible. There was only one way out. The few survivors went underground, burrowing their way deep into the earth like hunted moles, hiding from death in huge underground caverns. And it was there in the next 2,000 years that they built the new civilization, a civilization in which the genetic survival of the race came first, and every life and every law was shaped to serve that end. It is to this civilization, in the year of our Lord, 4,195 A.D., that we take you now.
Yes?
I have a call from the Director of Emotional Stability for the Third Oblong for Professor Lois Burton at the Institute of Genetics.
This is Professor Burton.
One moment. Go ahead, sir. Lois? Listen, darling, good news.
What?
The Genetic Board has approved our application for marriage.
Oh, so soon?
The tests found our chromosomes perfect. We can marry any time we want. Our offspring should be genetically in the 19th percentile of perfection. What's the matter, dear?
Oh, nothing. I'm just sort of breathless.
You are happy about it, aren't you, darling?
Oh, of course. Terribly happy.
I'm coming right over to the lab. I have a surprise.
Oh, not now, Walter.
What?
Well, I mean you'll have to give me some time.
Time? What's the trouble?
No trouble. It's that genetic survey I've been working on.
What about it?
Well, I've finally gotten permission to study an actual living case. A specimen of imperfect genetic transmission.
Really?
Yes, they're bringing him up from the condemned cages on the lower level.
You will be careful, darling.
The supervisor says there's nothing to be afraid of. The specimen they're bringing is XJ-12. It's been studied before many times and is quite well trained.
Well, I don't like it.
Nonsense, darling. I've been waiting for this opportunity for years. Oh, there's my door signal. I'll have to hang up, darling. See you later. Yes?
Professor Lois Burton?
Yes?
I'm from the Phylogenic Institute, lower level.
Oh, then you brought me specimen XJ-12.
May I come in?
By all means. Oh, how?
Horrible. It all depends on your viewpoint. I happen to have a twisted leg. My parents were genetically unsound.
Then you...
Yes. I am specimen XJ-12.
I see.
I hope you aren't shocked.
No stable person permits feelings to enter into his work. I will admit to surprise. I was expecting something a little more, abnormal.
Sorry, I try to be as abnormal as possible. If I am, the Phylogenic Institute allows me out of the genetic cages every so often, so I can breathe the pure air of the upper levels and mingle with the genetically perfect.
You seem quite well educated.
I spent the first years of my life here in the upper levels.
How is that possible? They segregate imperfects.
As a small child, my mother concealed me from the director of selective heredity. I was brought up in secret. My mother actually, dreadful word, loved me.
I see. That would explain your obviously low threshold of emotional control.
If you choose to call it that. At first, you seemed to be struggling to repress a few feelings yourself.
We will confine ourselves to the impersonal aspects of our work.
As you please.
I shall require you as a demonstration for a lecture I'm delivering to one of my classes tomorrow.
At your service, Professor.
Sit here, please. Grip these electrodes tightly. I'm going to calibrate your electrochemical tension.
I'm quite familiar with the procedure. Oh! I realize that as an imperfect, I'm expendable. But I should hate to be electrocuted.
The charge is not lethal. Plus 15 surface tension.
You know, you have beautiful hair.
Plus 12 at a depth of 4 centimeters.
Lovely blue eyes. Crystal clear.
Plus 10, 7 centimeters.
Pretty. A perfect woman. Lovely, expressive hands. And a heart of stone. Like all the rest of you perfect survival types.
Try not to jump, sir, when the current strikes.
No feelings. Under control. Passed by the director of emotional stability.
Shut up!
Maybe I was wrong. Maybe you have feelings.
That will be quite enough. I seem to sense an air of emotional tension.
Nothing, dear. This is a specimen XJ-12.
Oh, I see. An inferior type.
Quite.
You, specimen. Can you understand me?
Yes.
Yes, what? Tell this dolt who I am, Lois.
This is a director of emotional stability for the third oblong. He also happens to be my selected genetic partner. You will address him as sir.
Yes, sir.
This creature seems quite impertinent.
He's only a specimen, darling.
I suppose. We'll use him and ship him back to the cages at the Institute. He's probably radioactive. You, specimen.
Mr. Director.
You will confine your speech to answering only those questions addressed to you. Understand?
Yes, sir. Perfectly.
Attention. The next demonstration will be conducted by Professor Lois Burton of the Institute of Genetics. Her topic, the probability of radioactive damage in the chromosome heredity of imperfect non-survival types. Professor Burton.
We are very fortunate today in having obtained a specimen of an imperfect genetic type through the good graces of the Phylogenic Institute. Moreover, this specimen has been trained to tell in his own words about the factors in his upbringing. Specimen XJ-12.
Thank you. My mother was a psychotechnician in the fifth oblong. My father was a historian specializing in the records of pre-atomic surface culture. In the earthquake of 2170, apparently some hard radiation filtered down through the tunnels and penetrated the fifth oblong. The effect on my hereditary factors is quite apparent in this twisted leg. I appreciate that you do not laugh. Most audiences seem compelled to laugh. Perhaps you are different. If so, perhaps you can be made to understand somehow what it means to be labeled an imperfect. Perhaps in some way I can penetrate the insulation with which the psychotechnicians, the drugs, and the glandular experts have surrounded your emotions.
Wait. As director of emotional stability for this oblong, I order you to confine yourself to the subject.
My father taught me in the last days before he was executed that every human personality is born with certain inalienable natural rights. The right of free expression, the right to have feelings, and the right to mature, and above all, the right to be different from every other living organism, because every organism is different. I submit to you, distinguished students, that the attempt by this society to abridge these rights is a violation of nature. I say that the imperfects, the mutants, those who are different, have as much right to exist and be free as you. I say break open the cages. Free my people.
Stop him.
Give us back the right to be individuals.
Stop him.
I say...
Professor Burton, take the specimen back to your laboratory and confine him.
Yes, Mr. Director.
You, specimen, go quietly, I warn you.
I have nothing but contempt for your warnings.
I'll have you destroyed for this.
The specimen is unstable. He doesn't know what he's saying.
Then get him out of here, quickly. He's an affront to our genetic type.
Hold still while I bandage your head. He'll be all right.
I suppose you detest me for getting you into trouble.
Don't squirm.
Not that I blame you.
I don't detest you.
Oh.
In fact, I thought you quite magnificent.
You what?
As you spoke, something began to stir in me.
You don't hate me?
I've never felt so strange.
Tell me what you feel. If I moved you, then I must have moved the others, some of them at least.
I don't know quite how to explain it. A strange sympathy.
Compassion.
For some reason, I took pride in what you were doing. Seeing you stand up against them. Why do you look at me like that?
Because I can't help it.
I wish you wouldn't. You're only an imperfect, you know. You have no rights. Please, XJ-12.
My name is Oren.
Please.
Say it. Oren.
Oren?
Again.
Oren.
Lois.
Oren.
Lois, Lois, Lois.
What is it? Why do I feel this way?
In the cages, they call it love.
Love? We have no such concept in the upper level.
You've destroyed it.
Would it be correct to say, I feel love for you?
It would be correct.
I feel love for you.
Darling, darling. Lois, what about Walter? You're going to marry him.
No.
You're genetically suited to each other.
I don't care. I won't marry him. There must be some other way.
But...
Walter!
Very touching. Very tender.
Walter, how could you spy?
In my capacity as Director of Emotional Stability, it is my duty to spy. Specimen XJ-12 will be disposed of quite systematically by the state. For the good of the state. For the good of the genetic code. And in the name of emotional stability. Come in, Lois. I wondered how long it would be before you came to my office.
Walter, I have to talk to you.
Go right ahead.
Walter, you mustn't destroy him. Send him back to the cages, but don't kill him.
You speak of destroying an inferior creature as if it were something unethical.
Walter, Walter, please, for my sake.
Lois, I understand that you've entered a plea for postponement of our marriage at the Records Bureau.
Yes, I was too upset to go through with it.
It came as a great disappointment to me. If you were married to me, you would be safe from influences such as this XJ-12. In which case, I might even be persuaded to send him back to the cages instead of having him destroyed. You see?
Yes. I see.
Think it over. Well, my dear?
When can we be married?
Soon. Tomorrow, if you like.
The sooner the better.
Lois. Lois, you make me very...
What about XJ-12?
Oh, I see. A bargain is a bargain. Let me talk to the custodian, please. Hello. This is the Director of Emotional Stability for the Third Oblong. I would like you to cancel the execution of specimen XJ-12. Yes. Yes, that's right. Turn him over to the security guard. He's to be remanded permanently to the genetic cages.
Let me talk to him, Walter.
My dear, I don't think
Please,
that...
I want to be sure he's all right.
Very well. Hello. Connect a circuit in the cell block. I want to talk to XJ-12. Here you are, my dear.
Hello? Oren? Yes. No, I'm all right. How are you? Fine. Oren, I've been talking to Walter. He's going to send you back to the cages. Yes. Yes. No. No, I'm going to marry him. Because I want to. I'm not lying to you. I'm very happy. Yes, I've got to hang up now. Goodbye. Goodbye.
And now, Lois?
Walter, please. I've got to get back to the lab.
Of course. I'll pick you up in, say, an hour, and we'll make plans for the wedding. All right?
Yes. Yes, of course. Goodbye, Walter.
Hello. This is the director of emotional stability again. I want you to cancel that last order. Proceed with the execution, but under conditions of absolute secrecy. No. Don't use the lethal chamber. Take him to the tunnels on the upper level. That's correct. Fine.
This way.
Where are you taking me?
You're being returned to the Philogenic Institute. Orders from the Director of Emotional Stability. Into the elevator.
Very well. Why are we going toward the surface? The cages are on the lower levels.
Radiation check.
They've never done that before.
New procedure. All right. Walk.
Hawk, state your business.
I'm the custodian for the third oblong. This imperfect is my prisoner.
You can't go beyond this checkpoint. There's radioactivity in the tunnels.
This is a special mission, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I see. Well, just a moment, I'll open the airlock. Go ahead. You'll find two radiation suits in the chamber.
We will need only one.
So this is how they get rid of imperfects.
March inside. All right. Turn around.
Suppose I refuse.
It'll be less painful if you cooperate.
Before you dispose of me, could I give you a message for a friend?
That depends. What is the message?
This!
Security! Help! Security!
What is it? What happened?
The prisoner, he struck me. Before I could recover, he escaped into the tunnels.
Well, he won't last long. If the radiation doesn't get him, he'll starve to death.
Can you go after him?
I could send a robot, but it isn't worth the trouble. There's no way back from the tunnels except through here. Only other direction he can go is toward the surface. The closer he gets, the hotter the radiation. No, I think you can consider your prisoner dead.
More wine, my dear?
No, thank you, Walter.
You look very beautiful, my dear. Very beautiful.
Thank you.
These hydroponic fruits are delicious, aren't they? The wedding will just be a small affair. I've arranged for a few friends. The director of endocrine control, the chief of the security guards, one or two assistants to high council members.
Walter, did...
Yes?
Was he returned to the cages?
Now, why must you spoil this lovely dinner by bringing that up?
Was he, Walter?
Well...
Was he?
Well, as a matter of fact, there was a little difficulty.
Difficulty?
Yes. You see, he escaped.
Escaped?
He struck a guard and ran off into the tunnels.
The tunnels? But that's death.
He's free to return any time he chooses.
When did it happen?
Just a few hours ago, as a matter of fact.
Walter...
Now, don't become upset again, darling.
You planned it, didn't you, Walter?
Stability, darling.
stability.
Stability, stability. Is that all I'm to hear from you for the rest of my life?
Darling.
Here's what I think of stability.
Well, we're not to be married. I'd be compelled to turn you over to the endocrine surgeons for doing that.
Well, you can go right ahead, because we aren't going to be married.
Checkpoint.
This is the director of emotional security.
Yes, sir.
If Professor Burton tries to pass the checkpoint, I want to take it into custody.
Well, Professor Burton just passed, sir. She said
you
that...
You idiot.
But she said
I don't
that
care what she said. Stop her. Send robots after her. Get her back. I'll have you destroyed as incompetent if you fail.
Yes, sir. At once, sir. Robot control. Checkpoint to robot control. Order out all televocal robots into the tunnels. Have them bring back any humans. This is a first priority order.
Why did you come here? It's suicide.
I had to. Darling, are you all right?
So far.
You've got to turn back. Give yourself up.
They'll kill me.
You can't stay here. The radiation is +4 at this point. It gets worse as you approach the surface.
Go back, darling.
What will you do?
I'm going ahead.
But you can't.
I can. I'm going to the surface.
Not even the robots can survive it.
At least I'll be the first human in 1,100 years to see what the surface of the Earth looks like.
Come back with me.
No, darling.
Then I'm going with you.
Lois.
Don't try to stop me, darling. There's nothing to go back to now. Nothing but Walter and emotional stability.
Lois, you really want to come with me?
Yes.
You know what it means.
I don't care.
Oh, darling, I can't let you go.
Orin, I love you. See, I know how to say it now.
Say it again.
Orin, I love you.
Lois, what's that?
Sounds... Oh, Orin, it's the robot control. It's looking for us.
Come on. We've got to hurry. This way. Hurry.
Oh, and wait.
It can't be much further, darling.
The robot is gaining.
Here, let me help you.
I can't. I just can't.
All right, darling. We'll stop here. We may as well wait for it.
Oh, Orin. It's coming. I can see it's light now.
Darling, listen. It stopped.
The lights are swinging around. Orin, it sees us.
Come on, darling. One last effort. Come on, run. Look. Look ahead. You can see the lights reflecting from something.
It looks like a door.
It is. No, it's a heavy lead door.
There's a lever. Hurry.
Come on through. Lois, there must be some way to close it. Here.
Let me help you.
It won't get through that. It's solid lead.
Orin, where are we?
I don't know.
Look. Up there. A huge round light.
Lois.
Yes, Orin?
That's Luna. The moon. We're on the surface.
How red everything looks. How it glows.
It's the radioactivity.
Quiet. Peaceful. Deadly.
Oh, darling. Sit here and rest a while.
Put your arm around me. Orin, I'm afraid. Orin, we're going to die.
Don't think about it. Just think about us alone. The first humans to stand on the surface of Earth in 2,000 years. Lois, that door must have been placed there by the last handful of survivors who went underground after the atomic wars. Those are the lights. The small ones. They must be stars.
Orin, I'm so tired.
Go to sleep, darling. Put your head on my shoulder and sleep.
Hold me, Arn. Hold me very close.
What is it?
Look, it's light.
What?
The whole universe is light. Oh, Orin, how beautiful. Look.
By all the laws of nature, we should be dead. Lois, no life could survive this.
By all the laws of nature, Orin.
What is it?
We're not dead. This is Earth, and we're alive. We're not going to die.
But the radiation... It's present. You can see its effects.
Orin, did you ever hear of adaptation?
What?
There is a natural law of adaptation by which an organism will try to adjust itself to its environment by changing. It's called a geotropism.
I don't see what that has to do with...
All these generations, we've been bombarded by radiation filtering down through the Earth. Each successive generation must have inherited some degree of immunity to the effects of radiation.
And you think that...
Orin, it can't hurt us. Don't you see? We're immune. We're probably the first generation to inherit sufficient immunity.
But if that's true, then we can transmit that immunity. We can pass it along to our children.
Come on, darling. We'll have to find food and water.
The practical wife. Oh, wait a minute, darling.
What are you doing with that rock?
I want to scratch something on the outside of this lead door.
Lois and Orin.
195 A.D.
Hello, tomorrow.
Dimension X has transcribed Hello Tomorrow, written by George Lefferts. Appearing with Nancy Olson were Santos Ortega as Walter and Donald Buca as Orin.
Dimension X, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 15th of September 1950 on NBC. The story would be heard again on X-1 in November of 1955 and January 1956. It's an hour of sci-fi on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and now we turn to the X-1 series from NBC. For a broadcast from October 27, 1955, with the script used previously on Dimension X called Requiem. Penned by Robert Heinlein, this episode stars Rita Lloyd, Stan Early, and Jim Bowles.
Countdown for blastoff. X-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X-minus 1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Street & Smith, publishers of astounding science fiction, presents...
X-1...
On a high hill in Samoa, there is a grave. Inscribed on the marker are these words.
Under the wide and starry sky, dig my grave and let me lie. Gladly did I live and gladly die, and I lay me down with a will. This be the verse you grave for me. Here he lies where he longed to be. Home is the sailor, home from the sea. And the hunter, home from the hill.
These lines appear another place, scrawled on a shipping tag from a compressed air container, and pinned to the ground with a knife.
It wasn't much of a fair, as fairs go. The trotting races wouldn't be held till 8 o'clock at night. The flags and bunting drooped in the gray afternoon, and the pitchmen seemed discouraged. A large black limousine stood at the side of the road, 32 cylinders purring quietly. And over the dust and the clatter of the fair, a bullhorn blasted the highest pitch.
Hurry, 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 this way to the moon rocket, the moon rocket. See it fly, the actual type rocket used by the first man to see it fly. Chills, thrills, the romance of space. You can ride in it for only $25. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
Hey, Charlie, have you got that feed tube patched?
I welded it. Good for maybe an hour.
Oh, what a crowd. They wouldn't risk a nickel to see the sun blow up.
Oh, Captain, excuse me, Captain.
Yeah? Oh, yes, sir. 50 cents to inspect the rocket. One?
Could you take a passenger this trip?
You mean you want to go up? $25.
That's right.
Yes, sir, right away. Charlie, take the pitch. Step this way, sir. Look out for the feed lines.
Oh, yes, I see them.
Hey, Doc. Passenger for a checkup.
Okay, Mac.
Well, is this necessary?
Regulations.
Take off your coat, open your shirt, roll up your right sleeve.
All right.
How are things, Mac?
Slow. We're not drawing as much as the cooch tent.
It'll pick up tonight with the trotters.
I'm ready, Doctor.
All right, give me your arm. All right, breathe in. Breathe. Breathe. Uh-oh. Sorry, Mac.
No go, Doc?
Cardiac condition. I couldn't certify. I'm sorry.
You mean you won't take me up?
He's the doctor.
Well, I rather expected it.
Sorry. Between you and me, we could have used the 25.
Excuse me, Captain.
Yeah?
Could you and your engineer have dinner with me after your flight?
Dinner?
At my home. My car's over there.
That's your car? The limousine?
That's right.
You serious, Mac? You want Charlie and me for dinner?
Of course.
Okay. Okay. Don't see why not? Thanks. Charlie, you had enough.
Lay off, Mac.
Oh, that's perfectly all right, Captain McIntyre. Cigar?
Thanks.
Light?
Thanks.
Yes, it's hard for me to see why any holder of a master's ticket would quit the Earth-Moon run.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, don't hand us that. It was Rule G washed you
up. All right, so I took a few drinks.
Tell me, gentlemen, are you satisfied with what you're doing now?
Are you kidding? We've been pushing the old junk heap for a year. Half the time, the sheriff has an attachment on the ship for a fuel bill. It stinks.
Would it help you to get back to the moon?
Well, sure. I could get a short-haul job hopping ore. If I kept my nose clean, I might even get back on the run.
Would you be open to a business proposition?
What is it?
You own your own rocket?
Barring a couple of liens against it.
I want to charter her to take me to the moon.
You hear what he said, Mac? He wants us to fly that old heap to the moon.
He can't do it. The old boat's worn out.
Why don't you charter a regular company ship?
Oh, no, I can't do that. The company charter comes up before a congressional committee this year. They have to follow the regulations.
You can't pass the physical. Now, if you can afford to hire us, why don't you bribe a couple of company medics? It's been done before.
I know, but not for me. I'm D.D. Harriman.
Harriman?
You own the company. Hey, what are you giving us?
I own a large percentage of the company, but the other directors won't permit me to jeopardize the franchise.
Can you tie that, Mac? A guy with half the money in the world and he's up a crick.
Shut up, Charlie. Why do you want to go to the moon so bad, Mr. Harriman?
Well, it's the one thing I've really wanted to do all my life. I'm maybe 50 years older than you. When I was a kid, nobody believed we'd really reach the moon. You've seen rockets all your lives. When I was a boy, they laughed at the idea, but I believed. I wanted the moon then. I used to stand in the backyard and stare at it.
How far away is it, Mom?
The moon? Far enough.
Why don't people fly to the moon?
They can't.
Why not?
They just can't. Well, not now, anyway.
Someday I will.
What?
Fly to the moon.
Sure. Now, come on, Del. Inside. Way past your bedtime.
wasn't enough money for college, so I worked. Stock boy at the old Ford plant in Detroit. Accountant, credit manager for a mail order house. Then New York and Wall Street. And then transportation. The monorail line between New York and Chicago. The Atlantic pressure tunnel. And then Harriman Rockets.
Dell? Dell, I want to talk to you.
I'm working, Charlotte.
You talk to me now, Dell, or you may not get another chance.
What is it?
Fred Lott was in. You've sold out again.
I run the business, Charlotte.
Dell, I'm fed up with it. Up to here. I married you because I love you. I still love you, but I'm fed up.
Now, what is it, Charlotte?
We're not young anymore. Fred tells me you've bought into a bankrupt engineering firm. Sunk every nickel in it.
Well, they own the Schwarzmiller fuel injector patents. I need them.
How many times do we have to start over? I'm tired. I'm not asking for millions. Just a little life for the two of us.
I didn't know about the divorce for a month. I lost the papers under a stack of blueprints and stock prospectus. That night I walked through the park watching the full moon move across the sky. My old friend. I could recognize the wrinkles. Chrysium, Mare Fecundatus, Mare Trinculatus, the Luna Apennines. It took two fraudulent bankruptcies and an investigation by the Securities and Exchange Commission before we did it. The moon. There were three injunctions on the rocket before it blasted off. I was going on the second trip, but my considerate board served a court order on me.
You can't go there.
Fred, I'll break you if it's the last thing I do.
Dell, you've got a bad heart. That's no secret.
No.
If you die out there, the whole card house comes down. Now, we've got an equity in this corporation. We're going to see it protected. You've sucked us in on this wild scheme, and now that it paid off, you're going to sit right down here on Earth and see that the dividends come out on time. You're not going to the moon, Dell. Forget it.
I never went. By the time my lawyers shook off the restraining orders, the first cargo rocket had crashed in the Pacific, and Congress rushed through the Space Precautionary Act. My heart kept earthbound, and now I'm old. I've lived longer than I should, but I would not let myself die. I will not until I have set foot on the moon. There, Captain McIntyre, you asked why I wanted to go to the moon, Well...
You find a ship, Mr. Harriman, and I'll drive her. You'll hit the moon.
All right, then we can get down to business. I'll have contracts drawn up for you. You two will have to buy me a ship. I can't do it openly, of course. My dear board of directors would find out and slap a court order on me.
Well, we can't get credit.
Oh, don't worry. I'll supply the cash in advance. Pick some ship that can be fitted for the jump. A strato yacht, Apply for a strato license. Then after it's issued, you move to a piece of desert. I'll find a strip and buy it.
You mean fit her out there?
Yes, yes. We'll install extra fuel tanks, change the injectors and timers for space flight.
Charlie, you think you can manage the changeover without a dockyard and shops?
Well, I'll have to have a load of power tools and a lot of time. It'll be haywired and spot welded.
Just so it doesn't blow up when I slap the keys.
It won't blow.
Well, that's what you said about the last ship.
Now, cut it out, will you? I ask you, Mr. Harriman, that last ship was a junk heap and we knew it. Now, this one, this'll be different. We're gonna spend some dough and do it right. Ain't we, Mr. Harriman?
You spend all the money you want. I'll see that you get it.
$132 shares of Apex holding at 60% of par.
Check.
52 preferred of Spaceways fuel, 50% off par.
Check.
That's the list. Oh, Mr. Harriman, there's a process server outside.
Yeah? What is it?
I don't know, sir, but I think it's a subpoena.
Oh, I was expecting that. Ashley, get Mr. Caymans on the phone. I think it's time for my lawyer. ¶¶
May it please your honor. Counsel representing Mr. Harriman's relatives contend that his behavior for the past few weeks gives clear indication that a mind brilliant in the world of finance has become senile. They petition you to declare him incompetent and to assign a conservator to protect his financial interests and those of his heirs. May I suggest that in the last few words, my opponent gave away his entire thesis. It is evident that the petitioners believe that my client should conduct his affairs in such a way as to ensure that his nephews, nieces, and their issue will be supported in unearned luxury for the rest of their lives. Therefore, we pray this court will confirm my client in his right to do what he likes with his own. Deny this petition and send these meddlers about their business.
Well, Caymans, huh?
It could go either way.
He might rule against me?
He might. We'll know tomorrow.
Here it is. Eccentric millionaire disappears.
Yes.
You eccentric, Mr. Harriman?
Well, they used to call me crazy, but that depends on your credit rating.
A bench warrant under contempt proceedings has been issued.
They won't find me out here. How is the work going, Charlie?
My end's in pretty good shape.
Well, are you ready to go? My nephews will have detectives out looking for me.
Well, I could run those calibration tests tonight. Take till midnight. After that, it's up to the Commodore here.
There. There she is, Mr. Harriman. That's the job that'll take you to the moon.
It's a good ship. Isn't it?
Hey, Mac, stop the car.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh. He's out?
Look at him. Where's his medicine?
Vest pocket. Here. Break the glass. Hold it on his nose.
He looks lousy.
Yeah. There. He's breathing easy. Come around soon.
Mac, we ain't gone through with this.
Why not?
It's murder. He'll never stand up under the initial acceleration.
Maybe not, but that's what he wants to do. You heard him.
Well, I don't like it. He's an okay old buzzard.
What do you want to do with him? Send him back to Kansas City so his no-good nephews can shut him up in the cellar?
No, but...
Okay, then. Now get out there and make your setup for those test runs. Get that ship ready to fly.
Hey! Hey, you! You!
Me?
How many other people are there out in this desert?
What can I do for you?
You James McIntyre?
Hey, Mac.
What's the matter, Charlie?
You McIntyre?
Oh. Yeah.
I'm the deputy federal marshal in this district. I got a warrant for your arrest.
What charge?
Conspiracy to violate the Space Precautionary Act. I suppose you're Charles Schwartz. I got one for you, too.
Thanks.
And a man named Harriman. Got a court order to put seals on your spaceship.
We haven't got any spaceship.
What's that, a kitty car?
Strato yacht.
Yeah? Well, I'll put seals in until a spaceship shows up. Where's Harriman?
In the shed.
What shed?
Oh, my knuckle. That's the one I broke playing football. I'm always hurting that finger.
We gotta hurry. Get Papa to the cabin and strap him into his hammock.
Right. So long, deputy. Oh, my knuckle.
She's warm, Charlie. Everything set back there?
How do I know? I didn't have time to run tests.
Tough. You all right, Mr. Harriman?
I think so, but these straps are tight.
Have to be when we blast off. All set, Charlie? Give me control.
Check. Test keys.
One bank.
Check.
Two bank.
There's an auxiliary out.
We don't need it. All right, boy, hang on. Let's go. How are you, Pop?
I'm doing fine. Couldn't be better.
You better stay in your hammock. I'll loosen the straps a little.
Oh.
What is it?
Nothing. Just go easy on that side.
You ain't fooling me none, Pop. We got a couple of busted ribs. There isn't much I can do till we ground. You take a neobaritol and I'll wake you when we cut jets.
No, no. I'll stay awake.
Okay, just as you say, Pop.
Mm-hmm.
She's on automatic, Charlie. How are the tubes holding up?
Fine, tight as a drum.
She handles nice.
How's Pop?
Alive, but he's in bad shape.
How bad?
Cracked a couple of ribs in the takeoff. I don't know what else.
You think he'll last the trip?
His heart was pounding like an off-time valve.
Well, he'll last. He's tough.
Tough? He's delicate as a canary.
I don't mean that. He's tough down inside where it counts. Just the same, you better set her down awful easy if you want him alive.
I'll make a full swing around the moon and ease her in an involute approach curve. It'll go fine if we got enough fuel.
Somebody call me?
Something wrong, Pop?
Thought somebody was calling me. Must have been asleep.
I swung your hammock around. We're breaking now. There she is ahead.
The moon. I've seen 1,000 photographs. There. That's Copernicus. Tycho.
You know it all right, Pop.
Where are you landing?
Mare Imbrium, between Aristillus and Archimedes.
Oh, that's about 40 miles from Luna City, isn't it?
Yeah.
It won't be easy landing without ground approach radar, will it?
I've done it before.
Not without a second pilot to punch the statometer.
You ought to have a mate's ticket, Pop. You know the whole routine. You must have really studied up.
Yes, that's all I could do, study, until now. Oh, look at the moon. I feel as if I'm coming home.
Yeah. Charlie.
Yo.
I'm taking her in. Cut in full power.
Make it good, Mac. Pop can't take a rough one.
Shut up and give me the power. I'll do my best. Okay. Datameter setting punched. Hang on. Here we go.
That was a lousy landing, Mac.
Datameter drift.
How's our passenger?
Quiet. Now look.
I wouldn't make any bets. That landing stunk.
Will you shut up? I did my best. Hey, Pop.
He's alive. There's blood in his mouth.
He's trying to say something. Take it easy, Pop. We're down.
Oh, where?
Take it easy.
Vacuum suits. Where are they?
Steady, Pop. You can't go out there yet. We've got to give you some first aid.
Give me that suit.
What do you think, Mac?
Might as well. Get the suit out of the locker. Yeah, we'll use the big one. Be more comfortable.
Okay. All right.
Okay, yeah. Pop. Easy now.
Hurry, hurry.
All right, pull it up. Seal these zippers, Charlie. Take it easy. All right. The helmet. Air diaphragm set.
Check.
Air valve.
Set.
Lift it on him.
Don't hit him.
All right. Come on, Charlie. Get into your suit and we'll carry him out the back. Easy with him.
Okay. Okay. You all right, Pop?
Outside. Take me outside.
His left leg is gone. Get your shoulder under it.
Right. Open the lock.
All right, Pop. Come on. We're going out on the moon.
The moon.
All right. I'm going to leave you out here to look around while we get ready for the hike to town. You all right?
The moon.
We have to break out air bottles and rig a stretcher. It's 40 miles into the dome. Charlie, drop something behind his head.
Okay. You comfortable, Pop?
We'll be back soon.
The moon. I can feel the pumice dust. And it doesn't hurt anymore. Why, there's the earth overhead. The earth in the sky in green blue. I'm on the moon. I'm on the moon.
Del? Del?
Charlotte? I thought I heard somebody call my name. Yeah, I'm getting old. My mind wanders.
Del? Del?
Charlotte?
Del?
That is you, isn't it? I made it, Charlotte. I'm on the moon. You didn't understand. You were afraid I wouldn't take care of myself. But I made it. I'm on the moon.
Del.
I'm on the moon.
Del. Come on, Charlie. We better get Pop going. Here, give me a hand getting him on the stretcher.
Never mind the stretcher, Mac.
What's the matter?
He won't need it. He's dead.
Oh. Better get out the pumice skis and the air bottles. It's a long walk to town.
Yeah. What about him?
Looks as if he's resting, doesn't he? Propped up, looking out on the pumice.
Well, he hit the moon. Come on. Let's start walking.
You have just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Street and Smith, publishers of Astounding Science Fiction. Your announcer, Fred Collins. X-1 was an NBC Radio Network production.
X-1, on Tuned to Yesterday from October 27th, 1955 on NBC. That wraps up this hour of sci-fi on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from Radio's Yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.